great tribulation. We have seen from the book of Revelation some of the teaching of that wonderful book, bringing before us from the Holy Scriptures that as the Spirit of God reveals in this book of the revealing of the Lord Jesus, the church will be seen in heaven as we open chapters 4 and go on through the prophetic book to the end, chapter 22. I would like to read from the Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning at verse 15 and through verse 22, the words of the Lord Jesus, describing those days that are called in Scripture the Great Tribulation. The Lord Jesus saying, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." May I read a contemporary scripture in relation to that same period that was given in the Old Testament to the prophet Daniel? Chapter 9 of the prophecy of Daniel. I would like to read from verse 24 through verse 27. Daniel the prophet was inquiring in the context of this chapter concerning the purposes of God in relation to his own people, Israel. The Jews, their city, Jerusalem, their temple. And in answer to his prayer, God sends the angel Gabriel to give information from the throne of God concerning the purposes of God with Israel. I'm going to read the translation of J.N. Darby, which I trust you will bear with me. Reading, if I may, from verse 24, chapter 9 in the book of Daniel, through verse 27. "These are the words of the Spirit of God, as the angel spoke to the prophet Daniel. 70 weeks are apportioned out upon thy people, and upon thy holy city, to close the transgression, and to make an end of sin, and to make expiation for iniquity, and to bring in the righteousness of the ages, and to seal the vision and prophet, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. Know therefore and understand, from the going forth of the word, to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, are 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street and the moat or the city shall be built again, even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with an overflow. And unto the end, war, the desolation determined. And he, that is the prince that shall come, he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And because of the protection of abomination, there shall be a desolator, even until that the consumption and what is determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. May God bless the reading of these portions from his holy word. May I first of all point out, these two portions of scripture from Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 and the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9 are certainly corresponding scriptures in relation to that period of time which is known in the Word of God as being the Great Tribulation. I would like to introduce our study concerning whether the church should go through the Great Tribulation by a few remarks in relation to that period and why it is so called. The Great Tribulation. First of all, may I suggest, there are many scriptures both in the Old as well as in the New Testament that indicate the nature of that particular time. From the prophecy of even the days of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, from the prophecies of Isaiah, many of them, from the prophecy of Jeremiah, from the prophecy of Daniel, from the prophecy of Joel, of Amos, Zephaniah. We have indications, as well as in the book of Zechariah, we have indications describing the nature of that period called the Great Tribulation. In the New Testament, as we have just read from the lips of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, may I read verses 21 and 22 again. The Lord Jesus saying, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened," meaning limited, "in duration, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." We read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, concerning those days. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 3. Revelation 3:10. Revelation 6, 15 through 17. The verses in that sixth chapter. Now, may I suggest and emphasize what are found in these scriptures, which I have not read in detail, but mentioned. These words are found in most of these scriptures. The word wrath, the word judgment, the word indignation, the word trial, the word trouble, the word destruction, and darkness, overturning, and the word punishment. These words found in the scriptures that we have mentioned describe the nature of that period called even by the Lord Jesus the Great Tribulation. So that the nature of that period we must recognize is one of unprecedented experience of trouble. Then may I go on to point out the source of that trouble. When God will permit a time of unequal trouble to be experienced in the earth, the source of it is this. It is the time of God's wrath and of God's judgment falling upon the earth. Though he may use the wrath of men and the wrath of Satan as agencies to do his will. Now may I repeat that? It is a time when God himself will visit the earth with his own wrath and displeasure. And I would qualify this statement by reminding you, there has never been a time of outpouring of God's wrath and of God's judgment upon the universal earth since the days of Noah in the days of the flood. But the day is coming when upon all the earth God's judgment and wrath shall fall. The source of it then, primarily speaking, the source is God himself. It is said to be the indignation of the Lord in Isaiah 24. It is from the Almighty, writes the prophet Joel. It is the Lord's wrath, writes the prophet Zephaniah. John by the Spirit in the Revelation writes, it is the wrath of the Lamb in Revelation 6. In Revelation 11, verse 18, It is spoken of as words directed to God. Thy wrath is come. In Revelation 14 and verse 10, it is stated to be the wrath of God. In Revelation 15 and verse 4, it is called thy judgment as the angels address the living God. Revelation 15 verse 7 as well as in chapter 16 verse 1, it is declared to be the wrath of God. And in Revelation chapter 16 verse 7, it is stated as being his wrath. And Revelation 19 verse 2, his judgment. Now may I repeat that this period differs from all preceding tribulations, not only in intensity, but also in the kind of tribulation, since it comes directly, though unquestionably, through the use of human as well as satanic agencies, as well as direct from God, yet it comes, all of it, from God himself. Now may I mention the purpose of this great time of trouble? One of the purposes is this. It is to prepare the nation of Israel for their Messiah. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7 declares, it is the day of Jacob's trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 30, from the very writings of Moses, declares, it is a time of trouble for Israel. Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 37, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, Daniel himself is stated by the angel, is told that it's going to be a time of unequal trouble for his people. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, declares it is a time of trouble for the Jewish people. May I go further to say that the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, from verse 9 through verse 26, very definitely states it is of a Jewish character. Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8 declare it has to do with the Jewish people. Revelation chapter 12 and on through that chapter refers very definitely to the fact it has to do with a time of trouble for the people of Israel. And thus the conversion of many Jews will be accomplished. That too is declared in Matthew 24 and verse 14, where the Lord Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And may I remind you that Elijah will also be preaching in that day, as we read from Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. For as John the Baptist preached to prepare Israel for the first advent of Christ, according to the prophet Malachi, Elisha shall come to prepare Israel for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. So one of the reasons or purposes of this great tribulation is to prepare the nation of Israel for the coming of her Messiah. There is another reason. This great tribulation period is also a period through which God will provide a population of saved Gentiles for the millennial kingdom. This we have seen in our study of the book of Revelation concerning the seventh chapter, where out of that same period, the witnessing of that Jewish remnant will also bring an innumerable company of believers from amongst the Gentiles to enter into the millennial kingdom. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, which is described as being the judgment of the living nations, also designates the fact that out of those nations there will be separated as sheep from the goats those to whom the Lord will say, come ye blessed of my Father, enter ye into the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. Now there's a third reason for that great tribulation period, and it is this, very solemn, that God will destroy the ungodly and the unbelieving of the nations. May I repeat that? God will destroy the ungodly and the unbelieving of the nations. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 32 and 33 tell of that day. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 21 declares that God is coming to punish the ungodly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 9, and even the prophecy of Enoch written in the Epistle of Jude declares, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all that are ungodly." Now may I very briefly review the purposes of this great tribulation period. First, to prepare the nation of Israel for their coming Messiah. Second, to populate the millennial kingdom with the same company of Gentile believers. Third, to destroy the ungodly and the unbelieving of the nation, whether those ungodly and unbelieving are amongst the Jews or Gentiles. Those are the three purposes very definitely revealed in the Word of God for the Great Tribulation. Now I wish you to go with me to the book of Daniel chapter 9 and study in more detail the prophecy that was given to Daniel in the verses that we have read from verse 24 through verse 27. For in this prophecy of Daniel, we have the time of that Great Tribulation period designated. The prophecy of Daniel 9 is one of the most important in the whole prophetic scriptures. And it is one of such importance to me that it proves that the church is a mystery never revealed in the Old Testament, but only revealed in the New Testament. Now look at the prophecy in detail as we turn to it. Daniel chapter 9, reading at verse 24. And here are the words that are given to Daniel. Again, may I repeat, the prophecy first of all refers only to Daniel's people. May I go back, reading in verse 19 of this same chapter, where Daniel in his prayer says, "Lord, hearken, and do, defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." May I ask my listener a question? Could Daniel be asking and praying to God on the behalf of any other people but his own earthly people, the Jews? The church was non-existent. And the only people that we find in the Old Testament scriptures referred to as God's people, and the only city that we find referred to as God's city, the only nation that we find referred to as God's nation, was Israel, the city of Jerusalem, and the people that are known as the Jews. May I make mention in the prophecy as we read it, in verse 24, these words, 70 weeks are apportioned upon thy people, thy people, Daniel's own people, the Jews, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to close the transgression. There we recognize the prophecy refers to the Jewish people only, to the Jewish nation only, to the city of Jerusalem, of which and for which Daniel was inquiring. Now, may I go on to read in this 24th verse, that period of time which is mentioned by Daniel, of which we shall study, may I point out that that period of time covers a tremendous prophecy. First, to close the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make expiation for iniquity. I'm sure that we can recognize that if transgression, if sin and iniquity is to be dealt with to the satisfaction of God, to terminate sin in the sight of a holy God, of necessity, that embraces The death of the Son of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We can recognize that. I'm sure we do. That it certainly would take us to the death of Christ and bring before us the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. For who but Christ could thus make an end of transgression and make an end of sin and make expiation for iniquity, which we believe according to the New Testament is taught that he has done. But I want you to note further. This period of prophecy and its termination was to reach also to an occasion that has not yet been fulfilled, as we read on, and to bring in the righteousness of the ages, and to seal the vision and prophet, and to anoint the Holy of Holies, to bring in everlasting righteousness, as it is spoken of in the Authorized Version. One can recognize that the prophecy given to Daniel was to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament Scriptures, that the Messiah would bring the righteousness of the ages, and that righteousness would cover the earth. Oh, how the prophets of old foretold of the coming of that Messiah. How the orthodox, pious, and believing Jews looked forward to the coming of that kingdom, when under their Messiah, righteousness would fill not only the nation, but fill the whole earth. This prophecy of Daniel in its termination reaches to that extent. Now, may I remind you, we have not seen that termination. Not at all. Now I want you to notice this period that is called the 70 weeks, as Daniel is told in this verse. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people to bring about the fulfillment of what has been recorded in the 24th verse. Now that period is designated in its sections, beginning with verse 25. Know therefore and understand, from the going forth of the word to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince of 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now will you please note, there are 7 weeks and there are 62 weeks mentioned separately, totaling in all 69. Now I should make reference to the fact, which is very conclusive, not only from the study of the original language, the Hebrew language, but also from the context of history, that these weeks are weeks of 7 years each. 7 years apiece. So that the total of the 70 weeks of years would be 490 years. Now Daniel is told, from the going forth of the word to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince are first 7 weeks, and also added to those 7, 62 weeks, making a total of 69. Now the first 7 weeks referred to were the years that it took to build under the edict, or following the edict of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the Jews should return from Babylon for the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the city. In the days of Ezra and Nehemiah and their ministry, that temple and the city was built. And as the verse tells us in the 25th verse of our chapter, the street and the city shall be built again even in troublous times. It took 49 years for the completion of that work, and it was done. And then following that, 62 weeks of years followed, and reach to the time of the coming of Messiah the Prince. Those 69 weeks of years, totaling literally 483 years, beginning with the rebuilding of the city, terminating with Messiah the Prince, the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth at his first advent, make the total of the 69 weeks of years, or a total of 483. Now there you can recognize only 69 weeks of those years have been fulfilled. And there remains 1 week of 7 years to be fulfilled in connection with this prophecy. But read on in verse 26. And I want you to notice what the prophet says. After the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off and shall have nothing. There you recognize the death of the Son of God terminates the prophecy of the 62 weeks plus the 7 weeks, totaling the 69. And thus he was cut off, rejected, having nothing, and driven from the earth. Though the death of the Lord Jesus brought salvation for the world, and resurrection has given him glory at the right hand of God, there has been a terminating of this prophecy at the close of the 69th week, with 1 week of the prophecy still remaining to be fulfilled. Now you may ask the question rightly, why does God terminate this prophecy at the end of 69 weeks instead of concluding it in consecutive years? Well, beloved, this is one of God's ways. God at times, and you'll find it in Scripture, sometimes takes long periods to fulfill his word, but this is God's way. For when the Messiah was cut off, we recognize that this was a parenthetical period that followed to bring in the history of the church. And the history of the church, beginning at Pentecost, has been the long parenthesis between the 69th week and the fulfilling of the 70th week of Daniel, which is yet to come. Now let's go on in our reading of Daniel, for I want to prove conclusively, in connection with the words of the Lord Jesus, that this 70th week of Daniel still lies in the future. Now read with me, please. And I want you to notice in our scripture reading of this portion, we have two princes mentioned. In verse 25, we have Messiah the prince mentioned. In verse 26, he is mentioned again. Messiah shall be cut off. Now that is one prince. But I want you to note that there is another prince in this 26th verse. Notice in the middle of the verse the statement saying, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The people of the prince that shall come, the people of the prince that should come, destroyed the temple of Jerusalem and the city of Jerusalem. History conclusively declares, in the year AD 70, the temple of Jerusalem was totally destroyed and the city destroyed. The people of Israel that remained were scattered abroad through the nations of the earth. And the Lord Jesus prophesied the destruction of that temple. Matthew 24, read the opening words. And it was destroyed. And it was destroyed by the people of one who is mentioned here as the coming prince. Now who were the people that destroyed the city? You and I know they were the Romans, belonging to the old Roman Empire. But the prince that shall come is a person that is yet to be. He has not yet appeared. That such a person will appear, you may read in Revelation 13. You may read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You may read of him as we have it in the prophecy of Daniel here, as well as in chapter 11 of Daniel's prophecy. And that prince who shall come, notice what he will do. As we read in verse 27, he shall confirm or make a covenant with many Jews for 1 week. So that there is no question of doubt, this prince who shall come will make a covenant with many Jews who undoubtedly shall be in the land of Israel and covenant with him for protection, as we know they will in that coming day. Now, beloved, look. This 70th week has not yet begun. This 70th week cannot and will not begin until God is ready to deal with his people Israel as a nation and as a divine testimony. When will that be? Well, beloved, I'll tell you when it will be to some extent. It will be after God is finished with the church in its testimony on the earth. God will in no wise begin dealing as a divine testimony with Israel, his earthly people, until he has concluded his purposes in relation to the church. What will conclude the purposes of God in relation to the church? The only event that will conclude it is this, and I quote now from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 and on, where we read, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort and encourage one another with these words." The closing event for the church's history is the rapture, when the Lord Jesus will take his people out of this world. May I repeat, it is an impossibility for God to begin his prophetic dealings as declared in the book of Daniel concerning this 70th week before the church is taken out of this earth. So it is an impossibility for the church to be upon the earth when God concludes the prophecies relating to his people at the end time. Now notice what takes place in our 27th verse. "This man shall confirm a covenant or a treaty with many Jews for that period of 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." Without question of doubt, and this is another proof, that the church must be out of the way before even Israel commences their worship and sacrifices again. For they will begin their sacrifices, they will have their temple upon the earth, and they will be offering sacrifices and having temple worship, when in the midst of this week of 7 years, this Roman prince causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease in the midst of that period. Read, if you will, the 13th of Revelation, and there you have undoubtedly where the false prophet will set up the image of the beast to be worshipped in the temple of Israel. Then the Lord Jesus, and here I would like to link the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 15 of Matthew 24. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, the idolatry of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when you see that idol standing in the holy place, then the Lord Jesus says in verse 21, "then shall be great tribulation." The latter part of this 70th week is unquestionably the period that technically and literally can be called the Great Tribulation. It begins with its intensity then, though it is preceded with much trouble before in the first part of the week. And as Daniel declares in his prophecy of Daniel 9, he will cause the sacrifice, the oblation to cease, and because of the protection of abominations, there shall be a desolator. The Roman prince will be the desolator, setting up his own image to be worshipped as God. And until the end, wars are determined. And that which is to be determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. It will be a period of unprecedented trouble. For the breaking of this covenant or treaty in the midst of the week precipitates a time of God's wrath and desolation never before equaled in the history of the world. And it consummates. Now, may I point out, though, it consummates what is found at the end of verse 24. A time of great and unparalleled blessing for the nation of Israel. May I give this comment, which I once read from a book? The book was written by Pierre Van Possen, who was a noted journalist preceding World War II. He was a man who had contact with the great of the nations of the earth in his day. But he was a man who was very pro-Jewish in his interests. He seemed to have a devotion for the people of Israel. On one occasion, he was spending time in Palestine, preceding World War II. He wrote many articles in favor of God's earthly people, the Jews. On one occasion, he had a visitation of Jewish rabbis, three in number. They came to visit him at his hotel suite. On that occasion, as they came in, he asked them, "Gentlemen, what can I do for you?" "First of all," said the spokesman, "we wish to thank you for your interest in our people. We appreciate your kindness." For he had been writing in his journalistic articles many things in regard to God's earthly people, the Jews, that needed to be done for them. And he was advocating that they should have help. But then the spokesman went on, "But we have a request for you to make of you." He said, "Well, what is it?" And the spokesman looked at him intently and said, "Sir, we wish you to leave us alone." And he answered, "Why do you ask that? Don't you want me to help you if I can?" And the man looked at him with tears filling his eyes, saying, "Sir, according to our sacred writing, we Jews must go through a time of greatest trouble that we have ever experienced in our history before our Messiah can come." He added these words, saying, "We long for our Messiah to come so greatly that many of us are willing to go through it if it will bring our Messiah." The journalist knew nothing of the Word of God and its prophecy, but he was amazed. But this was true. The Word of God reveals that the nation of Israel that has suffered so greatly throughout the centuries is yet to go through a time of unequal trouble, but which will bring unparalleled blessings at the end. Let me read the words again in verse 24. "As Daniel is told, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to close, to bring to a finish. First, transgression. Second, an end of sin. Third, expiation of iniquity. Fourth, to bring in the righteousness of the ages. Fifth, to seal the vision of the prophet, to finish it, to complete it. And sixth, last, to anoint the Holy of Holies." Surely we can recognize that this will bring blessing for Israel. So that the duration of the period, the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, we are sure must be in the future. Now, if this prophecy is in the future, then there is no more likelihood that the church will be here on earth during this last week of 7 years than there is evidence that the church was in existence during the last part of the 69 weeks. The church fills the parenthesis between the 69th and the 70th weeks of years and is no part of either period. How then can the presence of the church on earth be reconciled during the great tribulation if it is to go through it? It cannot. Oh, my friend, thank God, the purpose of God for the church is to take it out of this world before the Lord Jesus comes. There's one or two things I would like to add. The presence and the mission of the Holy Spirit as a restrainer of evil today must also end before the period of great tribulation, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. When the Spirit's work is ended in its present capacity on the earth, the church will be removed as well as the Spirit of God take the church to glory. Another two things I would add in closing. There is the necessity of an interval between the rapture and the coming of the Lord Jesus to the earth in his revelation. The judgment seat of Christ, where all believers in relation to the church must be judged. That has to take place. And the marriage of the Lamb has also to take place. I have no hesitancy to believe that the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb takes place between the rapture of the church when taken to heaven and the coming again of the Lord Jesus to the earth with the church in glory. That interval is necessitated to be fulfilled. Well, may God bless these thoughts so that it will bring to the hearts of his people today the truth. The church will not go through the great tribulation for his name's sake. Amen.